Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to today's edition of Beauty Talk. I'm your host, Janice Tennell, and tonight our guest is celebrity makeup artist J.K. Hunter. Well, she's a little bit more than a makeup artist, but we'll tell you all about that in a few minutes. But first, I just want to remind everyone that our call-in number is 914-803-4399. Again, that number is 914-803-4399. If you have comments or questions, please call that number. Also, you can email your comments and questions to info@illusionsbeauty.com. In our beauty news today, we just want to remind those of you who are fans of Illusions Cosmetics that we are offering 10% off all orders this week. And for the makeup artists, your 30% discount still applies. So, you actually get more than 10%. The 10% doesn't apply to the makeup artists who already have the discount. For those makeup artists who want the discount, please go to www.illusionsbeauty.com. Also, the Empire Academy of Makeup is offering a character and a prosthetic workshop on April 14th and 15th, 4 to 10 p.m. And they're saying that the workshop is imperative for anyone who wants to work in television, video, or film. Coming soon to Beauty Talk will be Suzanne Patterson with her five-minute segments on HD makeup, so please stay tuned for that. If some of you remember, last year Suzanne came on, I think it was twice, for a two-part series on HD makeup, and it was, you know, went over very, very well. She was very informative, had lots of information to share, so she kind of wants to kind of break those discussions down into five-minute segments, and she'll be coming on like once or twice a month to share some HD information with us. So look out for that. That'll be coming in the coming weeks. Again, like I said earlier, our guest is J.K. Hunter. And let me tell you a little bit about J.K. She's a professionally trained veteran freelance makeup and airbrush artist, hairstylist, and barber to the stars. J.K. began her career in 1993 and then attended Joe Blasco Makeup School. She has worked in most genres of entertainment and has acquired a long list of credits in award shows, theater, TV, photography, film, CD covers, commercials, editorials, website projects, videos. It goes on and on and on. Also, Ms. Hunter was the key makeup, hair, and barber for the 2010, 2008, 2007, and 2006 Stella Awards and the 2007 GMA Dev Awards. Your list is so long. And I'm just getting some of this information from your bio, but it goes on and on. Let me just read a little bit more. Excuse me. She also is a makeup and hair designer for theater, which we'll talk about a little bit later. She specializes in character development, budget management, and capturing the director's vision for the role. Also, she hires and manages large crews of makeup artists, hairstylists, and barbers, in which she has coined a drama-free stylish room. And I had to read that because I definitely want to talk about that a little bit later in the show. Welcome, J.K. Hunter.
Hi, ladies. How are you?
We're great, and thank you so much for joining us tonight. We really appreciate it. I know that you're working, but I'm thankful that you had the time to come on and share a little bit of information about who you are.
No problem.
Let me just jump right in. I know I just read your bio,
right.
And there was more that I could have read, but I just wanted to give people just a little bit of information about who you are. But tell us a little bit more about who you are and what inspired you to become a makeup artist. Tell us a little bit about your humble beginnings.
Oh, my goodness. I was just telling somebody, I basically started doing makeup because I really wanted to do makeup in high school, but living in Jackson, Tennessee, there was one makeup line, one makeup counter, one store that sold it, and one person that worked there. So I didn't think they would hire anyone else. So I just kind of forgot about it and went on about my business, my life, went to college. And after college, I worked for a shipping company, and the doctor literally gave me a year to live. I was 29, and so I went into prayer mode of trying to figure out exactly what I would do with my life. And while praying, realized and remembered that I wanted to do makeup and set forth a path after that of trying to figure out how I do it for television and video and theater. And so I ended up doing setting a plan of how I was going to get away from my job. And after working on that plan, having some surgery, doing several things I needed to do, I literally, just by what I call some God moves, heard about Joe Blasco's school from a makeup artist who worked for Sharon Stone. Joe Blasco just happened to open up a school in Nashville the week that the lady told me about the school. I went and put $1,000 down in faith, and I had that less than $5,000 to go to school the day before school, and I had a month off from work, and that was how I got started.
Okay, so you just told me something I had no idea about, that Joe Blasco has a school in Tennessee.
It was a God thing. That school opened up long enough for them to have two classes. I always say it opened for me.
Absolutely. That's the way it sounds.
It is, yeah. They had two classes and they closed it up. He just came here on a trial basis because the music community is so big.
Now, that was Nashville where the school was.
Exactly.
Now, how far is Jackson, where you're from Nashville?
It's 2 hours going towards Memphis, so it's west of Nashville.
So at this point in time when you went to the school, were you living in Nashville or you traveled to Nashville to go to school?
No, I was living in Nashville. I had come here to go to Tennessee State University, and
gotcha.
So I graduated. And I graduated in 1990, so this was 93 after I'd been working for several years. And I had, overlapped three jobs at a time, working for Service Merchandise, Saturn, and FedEx. That's where I was working. And I just happened to it was just a very stressful environment. And and I needed to have a surgery that I kept putting off. They didn't want me to have. They didn't want me to take off. And so I just, end up having to. I had no choice.
Mm-hmm.
I couldn't continue to lift boxes, mandatory 75 weight limit, and have ovarian cyst issues. It didn't work together. So I finally just was like, I got to make a way. I got to come up out of here. And so, it just was so many moves and things that happened. It couldn't have been nothing but God that, I decided I had to get rid of my debt. I did that. I did it quickly. It just didn't take much of any time once I focused on it and just paid it off and didn't throw away my money. I decided I was going to lose weight. I'm at 30 pounds. I had all of that taken care of and fixed, which the surgeries, which ended up allowing me to be able to have a child because I couldn't before. So it just was a lot of things that went on that were like major moves that couldn't have been nothing but God. And then Joe Blasco coming in to actually help teach the class and learning from him. And then several of the women that were there were just from all over the country flown in to just stay in Nashville. in a hotel just so they could go to the school because it was an abbreviated version. Like I said, it was less than $5,000 because
right.
the regular price is $10,000 plus.
Gotcha.
You know? So, and it was 4 weeks instead of the 7 to 10 plus week class. So
gotcha.
It just worked out for me. It was amazing. And I sucked up every bit of knowledge I could get when I got
I'm sure
there.
You did. So after going to Blasco School, what came next as far as your career goes?
Oh, I went back to work like nothing ever happened. As far as my career goes, as far as working at FedEx, I know how to keep a secret well, which, as you know, when we work in this business, we have to. So I did not tell anybody what I was doing. I went back to work. I started getting really small photo shoots with different people and just kind of telling people what I did, but I mainly told people that I knew I could trust. And I started hanging out with people who did what I do or what I wanted to do. And one of those
right.
people was a man named Mark Harris, who I met through my friend Darrell Stinson. He's one of the very few people I told what I wanted to do. And he's still in the business. He represents some artists, painting artists here in Tennessee. And he was the one who introduced me to Sharon Stone's people. So I told him still, you know, I was working on this drive-in trying to do. He knew I went to school. So he connected me with Mark Harris, who turned out to be one of the producers for the Winans, BB&CC, and a lot of other gospel artists when I was working with him. And I just was hanging out with him one day. And this was maybe a little bit less than a year after going to Joe Blasco. He said, why don't you come hang out with me? And so I went to where he was practicing for a gig, and I didn't know the gentleman he was working with and playing behind, but the man was breaking out, and he was really light, and he had a red blotch right down the middle of his face, a really huge red blotch. And so I told Mark, I'm going to go to work and get fired, and I'm going to come back. And he was like, you're stupid. You know, why are you always joking? And so I was like, I'm going to work. I'm getting fired. I'm going to be back. I'm telling you, I'm serious. So I went to work. I changed clothes. I got there. I had my little meeting because I was due to have a meeting that day. And in that meeting, they fired me for being sick too much because I had several surgeries, basically.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so I left there not worried about it. It just didn't even bother me that I had made sure that I had taken care of my debt, done all the things I said I wanted to do, and I had put some money aside. So I was good, and I knew I wanted to do makeup full-time. So I went back to where he was, and before I left, he had told me, why don't you ask him if you could do his makeup? I was like, I'm not going to ask him that. And so when I went back, I was like, yeah, you're right. I don't have anything to lose. So I asked, and turns out the man was Daryl Coley. I just
didn't
know who he was. Right. So that was my first major gig, working with him when he did Beyond the Veil.
Okay.
So he did Beyond the Veil at a Bobby Jones Explosion, which people that know Bobby Jones Explosions used to be the way that BET would basically get the footage for the Bobby Jones show for the season. He'd do
right.
all this taping, all these choirs, all these stars come in for 2 or 3 days, and then they split it up into multiple shows. And so when I walked in with Daryl Coley, Dr. Jones asked me, who are you? And so I told him who I was and what was going on. I introduced myself, told him I'd love to work with him. So he ended up hiring me for the other 2 days. So I worked for Daryl Coley one day and Dr. Jones the other 2 days. And Daryl Coley called me a day or two later and hired me to do the photo shoot for the CD, which, you know, a lot of the time we'll do the video, but we won't do the photo shoot. Or we'll do the photo shoot and won't do the video. It's as if they may not remember us or, you know, they get amnesia. But he hired me for both.
Now, let me ask you before you go forward. Now,
okay,
you said, you know, in Jackson, there's one makeup line, one person working at the makeup line. Was that the same situation? Well, I'm pretty sure that it wasn't, but I don't know how different it was. What was the situation like in Tennessee for makeup? And I'm saying that because you were just saying how, you know, Daryl Coley called you back to do such and such, Bobby Jones called you back, and I'm listening like they both are calling you back, and I'm wondering if it's a situation where there's not a lot of makeup artists.
Well, there's
in Tennessee. What was the situation?
Tons of makeup artists here, but
okay,
not a lot of African American makeup artists.
Gotcha.
When I started, there was 1 to 2 people. One lady, I think she had kind of weaned off of it, and one other girl here named Keisha. And she's very sweet. She's not doing makeup anymore. She owns a spa here. But Keisha was like the one other person that I knew of. Other than that, there were people in the mall, and we know back then MAC didn't exist. So it wasn't any of that. And the folks in the mall were the folks in the mall. They didn't cross boundaries, like coming out of the mall then to do makeup. So
gotcha.
Basically I was it when it came to African-American makeup artists.
Gotcha. Okay.
So basically in Jackson, like I said, one line, that lady that worked at the counter then, she's still at the counter now. She's
okay.
still there. So now in Nashville, though, when I was in college, I couldn't get hired for in the mall, because come to find out, I didn't realize that if you wanted to work in the makeup department of the mall or any of the stores here, you had to just take any job within the store and then hope that you get to move up. And whomever wanted to move up, regardless of whether they were a janitor or you know, whatever department they worked in. If they were in gift wrapping and they wanted to do makeup, they could move up. It's just whomever's name was on the list. And when I found that out, I never wanted to work in the mall again.
Oh, wow.
That was it for me. That's how they did it here. I don't know how it's done, you know, it was done in other places, but that's how it was done then here. So, and that was the upscale mall here, which is in Green Hills. So once that happened, I just was like, really, you know, no need in me being bothered.
Mm-hmm. Well, let me ask you. I know you have an extensive list of clients,
mm-hmm.
and I know you've worked several genres of entertainment. Can you share some of your clients from your various genres of entertainment that you've worked with?
Oh my goodness. That's deep. I can never remember who I worked with.
I know. I hate this question. It's so hard to remember.
Hard. Okay, I work with a lot of folks don't know. I work with Benita Washington, and I'm with her now. That's where I am doing a photo shoot. I've worked with Christian Weiss, CeCe, Al Green, all the Winans, Donnie McClurkin, and I work with multiple times, CeCe multiple times. Oh my goodness, Tom! I worked with Tom Joyner's wife and his and Myra J doing an Pantene shoot. Oh my goodness, that's such a difficult question. That's why I try to put so much on the website, and I still need to update it. I just worked with Michael Clark Duncan, Mario Van Peebles' father. I did makeup on. I worked with Mario. He's the director, but I actually did makeup on the father, which he doesn't care for much of me, so that was really easy. He's a very sweet man. Luke Perry from 90210. Johnny Knoxville. Almost all the Christian artists and fellow awards, like Shirley Caesar, Dottie Peoples, Kirk Carr, Marvin Sapp, Byron Cage. So, I mean, it goes on and on and on of all the folks, all the new folks, James Fortune, Tribe Tribute, Kirk Franklin.
Wow.
It's a lot. Yeah, I'm even amazed. It's a lot. I just can never remember, and a lot of times I have to literally print it out and have it in front of me. But I'm at a shoot. That's the only reason I don't have it in front of me, because otherwise I would have had to have it in front of me to even remember just a few names.
Well, let me ask you. In the introduction, I said that you were a makeup and airbrush artist, a hairstylist, and a barber. How did the hairstyling and the barbering, when did that come about?
Well, actually, I've always had a knack for doing hair. I actually sewed when I was really young. My mom went to hair school eventually as I, around the time I was a teenager. So when she refined her skills, I have a knack for watching somebody to do something, and I can pretty much repeat it. I may need a little bit of, you know, training on something, but most of the time I can repeat things. And so I would watch her do our hair. And so I grasped how to do hair. So when it came to doing hair on the set, and you know how you kind of sometimes just almost fall into it, you're on the set, they needed somebody to do hair or somebody got their hair done before, so you end up helping with hair. You know, so that's kind of how that came about. Other than that, I actually went to a barber and cosmetology school, but I just did that in the past 5 years, and that's just because it was a blessing that I ended up knowing the owner, and he also needed help in a new school that he was opening, had purchased, and I ended up going to the school, helping and working the register and kind of helping just keep the kids in line and teaching them and talking to them about how to act and how you would act if you want to take this to the next level.
Right.
That's kind of how I did that.
Now, also I mentioned that you have often been hired as key makeup artists and hairstylists for the various award shows that you've worked on and various projects that you work on, and you manage large crews of hair and makeup. You mentioned that you, you coined the phrase drama-free stylist room.
Mm-hmm.
Tell us about that phrase, and tell us why that is so important to you.
Well, as we know, a lot of time we get to a situation and there's just entirely too much going on. And I've never liked intense talking over the heads of clients. I don't
right.
care for that. I also don't care for all showing out and one person has to show and prove that they're better than the other one. Because I always say, I do what I do. I do makeup. I don't have to prove that I do makeup. So it's not like you have to get on the set and start doing all these extras that so many people do. It's just unnecessary. So, and on top of all of that, at a Christian award show, you really need to tone it down. So I basically came up with that concept after working on a show or two where I saw a lot of drama. I saw unnecessariness, because if you're a professional, you've been doing this for a long time, there's no need in all the extras. So
right.
Whenever I would hire a crew or hire anybody, I give them a discussion beforehand. I don't go off on anybody because I don't feel like that's necessary. I'm just kind of stern, and I don't want any drama. If anybody brings any drama to you or something that you don't like, you say yes, thank you, no, and come whisper in my ear, pull me aside, let me know, and let me handle it. And so I coined a drama-free room, and I don't really say it on there. I did something in Nashville that really had never been done, which is begin an integrated makeup room.
Mm-hmm.
They don't really do that here. You know, you go to a gig, and it's all white makeup artists or it's all black makeup artists. It's never really mixed. They're just starting to grasp that. And I did that because I knew. And because to get the Dove Awards, that was part of my pitch, that you are not representing what your show shows. Your show shows all races of people. You got the cantinas, you have some of the young ladies who are of a variety of races singing on the show, then you need to have makeup artists that represent all those different looks. And those people need to be able to walk in the room and see somebody that they know can do their makeup or they feel like can do their makeup. And so that's how I came up with the drama-free room and went to the with the integrated makeup room. And when I pitched that to them, that's when it just happens that the woman who was the assistant to the president for Gospel Music Association is married to a black man. She's a white lady married to a black man with biracial children. So she understood. She grasped it. She appreciated what I was talking about, and she hired me.
That's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Very awesome. I like that. And you're right. People should be able to walk in the room and at least feel comfortable that they think there's somebody there that can do their makeup. And that's a whole other topic on its own, actually. But also in my review of your website, it also talks about you being a custom wig maker. Now, did that come about with your work in theater?
No. It came about because I got sick of sitting at the hairstylist for 12 hours. I got sick of sitting to wait to get my hair done. And I just was like, it shouldn't take that long to get your hair done. And then once back in the day, you know, when you start buying expensive hair, I was like, I don't want to buy some expensive hair and then put it in my head, let them cut it and chop it up, and then I can't put it back in my head. The next time around, I got to go buy some more hair. It just didn't make sense to me. So why should I do that? So I started buying hair and searching for wig caps, the real wig caps, the expandable stretch ones, and they didn't sell them in Tennessee at all. I searched and looked and searched, and I ended up finding them in Atlanta. And that's when I started making wigs. I was determined, and I never wanted to make the ones that go on the elastic cap. It just didn't appeal to me. I always wanted to make an actual, real wig. And so it took one wig for me to make, and I made it too tight. And then once I did that, I took it loose, a part of it loose, and I redid it. And that's it. I've been making wigs ever since. It was basically out of necessity of needing it for myself.
Gotcha.
So once I did that, I've been doing them ever since. And I ended up needing them all because as I said, with surgeries, I've had now 11 surgeries to date. And so one of those was a car wreck that I had a pin in my knee. And so I could not stand on my knees, do a whole bunch of stuff. I had rehabilitation a lot. So to keep myself looking cute, which, you know, how we like to look cute, I had to come up with a way to do my hair, not sit at the shop for a long time, and, you know, be able to work out.
Right.
Since you
do work for film and television and theater, have you ever promoted that to those industries, like that you're a wig maker? And, you know, because we often use, hairstylists often use wigs a lot for television and film and theater.
I haven't, and I just never did. I don't know why I haven't. I just never have promoted it. I actually had a discussion, and Mr. Van Peebles asked me the same thing. How did I get into doing that? And he said that when he was working on another movie, I think it was Malcolm X, he said that there was a guy on there who began making wigs and pretty much had the same thing, necessity. He needed to do them. So I never thought about pushing myself. And you know how in our union you can't do hair and makeup.
Right.
And then I'd have to switch completely to hair, you know, and just do wigs. So,
right.
But I love makeup, so I don't really want to do that. You know, if they allow us to do both, then I would be good. But
right.
So.
Gotcha. So true.
Right.
I want you to talk a little bit about your Let's Makeup series of makeup classes.
Oh, okay. I've just started my series. I've been talking about it for years, and I've done classes. I've just never done them continuously. So that's come out of necessity of so many people calling me, asking me when I'm going to have a class, basically. And because, you know, in between shoots and in between gigs, sometimes it can be a minute. So I look like I need another income stream. And in the process, I can just go ahead and teach some people because I can't touch everybody and I can't do everybody's makeup. So there's absolutely nothing wrong with teaching some people. And there's so many girls here who want to learn how to do makeup. So I don't have a problem with teaching them. And like I've told plenty of them, and I said this to Derek Rutledge, which I know you all have interviewed. He's a friend of mine. I'm not him. He's not me. when you know, I'm not you all. All of our hands are different. So regardless of me watching somebody do makeup, I'm still not going to be them. I may grasp how they do something, and it may be something new to me, but my hand is never going to be the same as Sam Fine's hand, regardless of how much I watch his DVD, which I have to purchase. I haven't bought it. I just listened to you all, your interview with him, which was great. Yeah. So, but, you know, people have to learn. They need to be taught. And like I said, people need to always go get some training in some way, shape, or form. A lot of the young ladies here that want to do makeup, basically, they're coming to my class, and I'm teaching them how to do it.
Absolutely. So where's your next class taking place?
It is in Nashville. It's at the Hotel Preston, which is near the Nashville International Airport, and that's kind of why we positioned it there, so that if anybody wants to fly in, they can come in, stay at the hotel, be near the airport, take the shuttle. And, you know, there's plenty of stuff to see, plenty to do here in Nashville. Like, we have the International Film Festival, Nashville Film Festival, happening the same day as my class, and there's the premiere of the movie that I worked on with Michael Clark Duncan. That's the world premiere that same day. So we're just going to do the class that morning and go on to the red carpet and hang out and have a good time. So April the 17th, it's from 10 to 1 o'clock. If I'm trying to keep it short, because some people are not like us. We can talk about makeup all day long.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, some people want to get in and want to get out and kind of have their Saturday. So I've been keeping it kind of short, brief. But we do a whole face, talk about it, discuss it, break it down. They ask questions. And then we'll discuss their own personal issues as far as, you know, what they need in regards to makeup. Because some people are there because they just want to learn how to do their makeup.
Right.
And
right.
Many are there because they want to learn how to actually be in the industry. So we have a nice variety. And I had a nice packed room, which I was blessed and impressed myself. You know, sometimes we take for granted, you know, for what we do, and I try never to, but I had a packed class. It was a blessing.
That's great. Well, JK, we have online here Maxie, who's joining the conversation.
Hi.
Hi. Maxie. How are you?
Hi, everybody.
Hi.
I
just now squeezed in, so what are you guys talking about today?
Well, we're talking to makeup artist J.K. Hunter, who I believe, she said you emailed him?
Yeah, when he was talking about, when he was on one time and talking about the mascara.
Oh.
I was talking about the mascara.
Oh, yeah. I'm still on the anti-fake eyelash mascara campaign. I haven't launched my lawsuit against the mascara companies as of yet. But I am still pursuing that. Thank you for reminding me. I've been very busy.
I told him to go in. Just let me know when the lawsuit comes up. I'm with him. Because I have some stiletto, some lash stiletto right here, and it does not do what they say it does.
But can you imagine if mascara campaigns, like all those commercials, were done with real eyelashes?
Right.
And they were forced to do them with real eyelashes. Like, then we would really know which mascaras we really want to buy, because it will show the real deal. And I can tell you, some of the companies really do tell the truth, but they still are using fake eyelashes. Like that Lash Blast and the 2,000-calorie mascara, those fat tubes, they actually do, you know, work really well and give you, like, a dramatic lash. The tube mascaras actually do. You can extend the lash as long as you want. You can sort of turn your eyelashes into that stiletto commercial look with the tube mascaras, because it just surrounds the lash and you continue to build on and on to make it whatever length that you want. Now,
well, I noticed that they're not even using fake eyelashes on some of them. They're using graphically induced eyebrows, I call them. They're completely fake, meaning graphic, not a false lash.
Yeah, that's funny.
That they made with Photoshop.
Yeah, they actually do the eyeliner too for the, there's this new eyeliner commercial where this woman sort of gets eyeliner, just gets painted on, sort of like Amy Winehouse. Mm-hmm. And it just gets snapped on, but it's not even eyeliner. So how can we even determine whether or not, you know, it's just odd to me that people would use, it's like using, imagine just using something else for something else. It's like using fabric, green fabric folded into like this pretty circle to sell lettuce.
Mm-hmm.
Or like, I don't know, it's just a strange thing to me to use a fake version of
right.
the item that you are that you're selling.
Paint.
It's like,
right. they use
like
it looks like house paint.
I mean, it's just the concept of the whole thing of using a fake lettuce is just crazy. And they're so obviously fake. But that's not why I called in. I actually, that is a campaign that it's, I want to be able to sleep tonight. I cannot think about that right now. So, because, you know, I will stay up all night pissed. Now, but what I really want to talk about is I've run into a few cute products that I do like.
Yes.
And I do want to talk about them like they deserve mention. And they're small companies that sort of are obscure that, you know, you may not have even heard of. But there's this cute girl that has this company called Girlactic.
Mm-hmm.
And like Galactic, but girl. And she has, literally, she's created like say I have 10 favorite products. 3 of those favorite products are from her line, and she has very few products. She created this sort of lip gloss pen that's normally, you would look, think it was a lip gloss, but it's an eye gloss that is glazed, laid on to the eye, like you put it onto the eye and you can blend it either with your finger or with a brush to whatever shape you want for, let's say there's a minute of blending time. And then it's solidified to where it never creases and it just stays on that eye the whole time. And I'm talking overnight wear, like a 10-hour, 14-hour shoot, it just doesn't move. And she has it in, you know, these great colors. And then she, the other thing that I have of hers for her is this, she has this blush. I don't even know what, I'd have to dig over my kit to tell you what the name of it is, but it's this blush that goes with any skin tone. For some reason, it deposits on the perfect, like, light hue of pink for the whitest girl. And also for, you know, darker levels of skin as well. It's the strangest thing I've ever used because I've never been able to, like, I've never had a blush that was good for every skin tone, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And this one just sort of does it. And then another thing, I'm in love with a new foundation that apparently Billie B is using now on Lady Gaga. And I hear, or whatever, that's what is promoted, but it's a small company. It's called Face Atelier. And they have this cute little, their foundations are little pumps, but they have every color there is. And, I mean, it requires little blending. Like, there's so many colors that you can sort of, there's one for everybody. But
mm-hmm.
it lays on beautifully. And Billie B used to be known for doing this thick mask of foundation that was, in my opinion, really too thick. He's a sweet angel. I love him with all my heart. But back in the day, he used to, like, really paint on a new face onto people like Missy Elliott. And he was the one who did the 3 strips of lashes for Missy and, like, painted on practically a new face on her back in the day.
Mm-hmm.
And then he also did Destiny's Child and everyone else, and now he's doing Gaga, but he's using it on her, and it's sort of changed, he says even, it's changed the way that he's done makeup because, you know, it's sort of, it becomes like a second skin, and it's really beautiful. But, so I rarely say positive things about things, so I wanted to promote or, you know, pump up these 2 cute little companies that I now love. Just out of the blue, and now I can get back to bitching about stuff.
No, we love it when you talk positive, Max.
Well, you know. Oh, by the way, you know my Ellen thing. When I was on Ellen, there was a video taken by the Ellen people. Like, they take a backstage video of each person that comes on the show. Uh-huh. And so they did a video of Melanie Fiona, the person that was doing her hair for the Ellen show, and I didn't know it, but I was in the mirror for this whole video dancing while she sang this song to Ellen. And so now it's on the Ellen website, and, you know, it's on YouTube, too, and, you know, very few people are watching it there, but on the Ellen website, it's sort of become something, I guess. But if you wanted to see it, you could go either to the Ellen site, or you could go on YouTube and type in Melanie Fiona Ellen, and then it'll be, like, the second video down, it'll say Melanie Fiona sings song for Ellen, or something like that, and I'm dancing, doing a dance performance in the background, unknowingly on camera.
So they caught you acting up, basically. They caught you acting up.
It's really cute. I have to say, it's really cute.
I just want to make a note that there's a makeup artist in the chat room who says that foundation that you were just mentioning. She says she won't be without it, and they're coming out with even darker shades for darker skin tones sometime this month.
They go pretty dark, but not dark enough, I would say. Mm-hmm. But they go darker than most, but not as dark as I like. Mm-hmm. But I already have, like, the foundations and stuff that I like that are dark, and I rarely stray. Like, I don't stray until they're gone, until every drop is gone of the ones that I already do love. By the way, there's someone who makes this amazing super dark foundation that doesn't go reddish. It stays sort of brownish and beautiful. And it's this hairdresser named Arnell. And he has these tubs of this crazy foundation. I guess it took him like 5 years to formulate these foundations. And he has random, like, you know, lighter skinned people colors. But then he has this one super dark. Like, he didn't even bother with, like, you know, Brazilian people or the Latin community at all. Like, he went straight from white to dark, super dark. And this foundation is an amazing color that I've never seen before that he has in his line of foundation.
I was just going to ask JK, what are some of your favorite foundations to use?
I still use, I just got all the shades of HD from Makeup Forever. They were very sweet, which I liked it beforehand. I still use a good deal of dermal blend, depending upon who I'm doing. Of course, MAC, Bedhead, I use a little bit of that stuff. Who else? Estee Lauder, RCMA, all of it, because I do a variety of skin tones, black and white. I get a lot of calls because I'm the only African-American makeup artist doing movies and television in Tennessee.
The Makeup Forever HD line, I think, that you mentioned is amazing. Like,
yes,
I love it.
I hadn't used it a lot. We ended up using it on the set of Tough Trade, which was a pilot I just did for Lionsgate MGM. And really loved it and had one actress on there who just was like, she had to have it. So that's when I was like, maybe I got to have it. So having a shoot where I called them and they sent them all to me.
Honestly, it really makes a difference. That HD foundation, they have great, they have every color. And I'm going to open up my kit right now. By the way, I've discovered the greatest news. You guys saw my bag, didn't you?
Yes.
And Janine,
uh-huh.
You guys saw that bag that I put makeup in, right?
Yes.
Anyhow, I'm hopefully producing like a different version of that bag. But anyhow, I'm in love with that bag. I think everyone should use it. It's the best way to be hygiene city is to have Ziploc plastic bags, et cetera. Like a cute way to make it look cute is to do them all the same one, the same color, the same clear Ziploc. Not sandwich bags, hopefully. You know, hopefully there's an actual Ziploc cute bag. But I actually know artists in New York, big artists, that show up with sandwich bags now, with their makeup in sandwich bags because of the hygiene factor of boxes. But anyhow, the color of the Makeup Forever, the dark brown one or the dark one, or whatever you want to call it, is called... Oh, my gosh. I mean,
darkest
that's
Makeup Forever shade?
The Darkest Makeup Forever HD Foundation is called... Oh, gosh, I can't even read it. That's really small.
180? I think 180.
180. Yeah, no, yeah, I see the 180, but next to it says tint.
Oh, there's a 185. I have the bag here. There's a 185.
Yeah, well,
yeah.
Anyhow, those are really great. I have used the crud out of those two. I mean, even though they tend to get a little, you know, and one of them has a little too much color in them. They're a little bit too, let's say, what the word we're familiar with is warm, you know, but they're just amazing. The HD foundations for skin, for HD, for film, for video.
Yeah, I wasn't convinced totally when the girl was asking she had to have that, and she had to have that foundation. But when I did, one of those guys off The Wire, the one that played Marlo Stansfield, the
mm-hmm.
last guy that took over everything, he came to that show and played a bad guy. And he's, you know, he's a dark-skinned brother with a very nice skin tone, naturally. And, you know, African-American-wise, we don't normally do just foundation without powder. But that's what they were insisting, you know, that we do on the set. Oh, you know, and even the lady that hired me, she wanted me to do more makeup without powder on top of it. And for most of us, you know, we want powder. We want foundation and powder. We want the work. So I ended up doing that.
Nobody wants to look like they just had some chicken.
Right. No, we don't want to look greasy. And so I used that 185 mixed with the 180 and maybe one other shade of just a little of it towards the center of his face and mixed. And it was so smooth and so beautiful that I was amazed. And that's when I really was like, okay, I'm convinced.
But I'm only,
and he was happy with it because he didn't look really made up.
Yeah, for men, I mean, especially, but for almost anyone, I only, and even women of color, and I know nobody wants to be greasy, but it's still only strategic powdering for me. Like, I leave certain areas, you know, some powder free, like the tip of the nose, and
mm-hmm.
you know, I just do like I'm, you know, it's yeah, there's certain those spots right on the side of the nose and the forehead and the chin, the side of the nose, especially for women of color, you know, like around the edges of the nose there. But for men now, I'm using this anti shine with. I mean, I'm literally spending 3 minutes on my male clients. And, like, for instance, I just did this wrap. By the way, I'm a cameo appearance in the next G Malone video. Glasses Malone, who's apparently, he's with Cash Money Records or whatever. But anyhow, I ended up doing a cameo at the end of the video, so look out for it. There's a new video coming out. But, like, when I work with rappers, they don't really, if I can even get them in the chair to put some powder on them, it's a miracle. Or they want their whole faces painted like, you know, like craziness and bronzed and highlighted, et cetera. But sometimes it's hard to get them in the chair. So I now am using these dark anti-shines that it's just a cream that looks clear. You know, they're dark hues, but I just show them, look, this is just a clear cream, and I rub it on my hand, and I sort of put this anti-shine on the face and sometimes the head if it's a bald head, and it stays all day. To wear a little bit of concealer for dark spots here and there, but to where I don't have to powder them and come up on them and powder them all day and just even dealing with them, just to have me approach a rapper on set to powder him is like, oh, it's a nightmare. Because I'm like, hi, are you ready for your next powder application?
They don't like it even when it's us. They don't like it even when it's us.
Right. Yeah,
So it's not just because you're a white guy doing makeup on the set. It's, they just don't care for it.
Oh, no, I wasn't thinking it was because of a white guy situation.
Yeah.
I thought it was for just because I'm a little flamboyant.
Okay.
Really quickly, because we have about 10 minutes left, I want to make sure I get her question in. There's somebody in the chat room, Facebook makeup artist, JK. She wanted to know if you ever assisted on the movie set in your early career, and if so, what advice can you offer for being a great assistant to the key makeup artist?
Set etiquette is like the major thing that I would start off with. And learn how to act. And if you don't know how to act on the set, learn how to be quiet. If you don't know how to act on the set, then learn to be an actor and learn how to be quiet on the set. Do whatever they ask you to do. And keep it moving. Don't be sluggish and slow when you're doing it, which is how I got on. And then when they ask you to do some makeup, hopefully you have some training so that when they ask you to do something, you listen to what they say and actually do what they ask you to do, not what you think they said.
My grandma said, what do the job, act and look the way that the job you want to do, not the job that you're doing. Number one. Mm-hmm. And then number two, continuity to me. If they can just maintain what I've done, because someone who's an additional to me or who's just assisting me on a set of a film, I cannot put the trust in them to actually do a face unless it's a background face or something like that. They can learn from me from what I'm doing, and they can maintain, like whoever, the actors or celebrities that I'm doing, that's fine. But if they have no, if I don't know their past work experience, they're just popping up on a set with me, I will mainly watch, like she said, their behavior on set to know that they're not going to cross into camera and powder people while they're shooting or rehearsing or blocking. All those things. And then to watch over continuity has helped me in the past. I've had additional people on a film save my life, like say things like, she didn't have that, you know what I mean? There's times an assistant or an additional person has saved my life on a set. But if we don't know what they can do, we can't really trust them.
And that's
to
another
go off
thing. You said continuity, but the actual continuity, keeping the documents and learning how to do the paperwork is very important. That can be one of the things that gets you back on the set, whether you have really mastered the makeup itself or how to do anything. If you can keep the continuity, know how to take those pictures and label them and keep everything in order, that can be a very, very key element in getting your job, getting another job.
And that's one of the things I learned how to do early. Let me just add that she's saying that she's always active on set, and this is her fifth movie that she's worked on, but her first time being an assistant to a key. So basically
Take burdens off of the key. I like it when additional people take burdens, simple burdens off of me, like keeping the continuity, like she just said, registering photos, lining them up, ordering them, knowing how to do that for someone to just sit all day, especially on a film, and do that for you is like a big thing. And the whole time they're learning. The whole time
She also wants to know what else should she bring. Now, I'm not really sure what she's already bringing.
Right.
So it's kind
of a lot of the time, difficult to say. Right. A lot of the time, though, it's not like you have to bring a lot. I mean, if she's assistant to the key, then that actually literally makes her the second. Right.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, she should probably have a kit and bring a full kit. I mean, and that's just the basics: makeup, foundation, powder, brushes, I don't know what I carry in his eye. I mean, I carry the main major things, but I know, well, like in the case of us, we, I don't know, well, some of us have some blood and gore stuff, some definitely some blood. I have some fake skin, some glue, some hair. I carry 40 wigs. When I came to work with Denise, I had my, I brought all my wigs with me just in case. You pay attention. I would say pay attention to what's in other people's kits when you're around, not just talking and running around the set and hanging out,
right,
and, you know, kicking it because you're there. I literally pay attention, and don't try to do it in a slick way. Sometimes you can just ask, and you can tell whether that key is somebody that you can ask, you know, what else should I have in my kit? You know,
and
what
let
else
me
should
just,
I bring?
And let me just add to that, like, for me, personally, everything that I bring to a job is what I bring every time. It doesn't matter what position I'm in. If I'm the department head, if I'm the key, if I'm the second, if I'm working with the background, you know, if I'm just an additional, it doesn't matter. My kit stays the same, and I tend to bring a kit based on what the project is.
But also, but there's specialty things that happen on a set, and the key will provide that. It's not like you have to have everything.
Yeah, absolutely.
Your, you know.
And then we're also, and then I'm also thinking a union project versus a non-union project. Not saying that they're any different in what you bring in your kit, but sometimes on a non-union project, the key may not necessarily provide something. It may be an independent film, you know, and pretty much everybody's going to have the same similar things in their kit, and no one may even bring anything special. So that's why I said, you know, my kit pretty much stays the same whether the key is providing it or not, because you just don't know. I tend to pack a kit based on the script, what I've read, what's going to happen in the project, in the movie.
Right.
For the show.
And then that's also something else that can make you key in getting back on the set, is learning how to break down a script, learning how to read that script. And when they say, oh, she blinks her long lashes, well, then that means you definitely got to bring lashes and you need a variety of styles. If she kisses him and has smeared makeup, then you know some makeup's got to be smeared. And you learn how to read that script. So that if you see anything that's unusual, you know, maybe you pack it or bring it. But like you all also said, if it's a bigger gig or a union gig, then there's going to be a budget and the key is going to provide that. So,
especially if it's a special effects thing or something like that, the key. You know, you don't. I'm always in fear when I leave in the house. First of all, I can't sleep at night thinking I'm not going to get up. But my second fear is that I'm going to get there and I have not brought something. Because at home, let's say I have 6 kits, you know, I have all sorts of things. Like, I could build you a giant headdress for a Vegas show thing in one of my bags, and then, you know, I never know what bag to bring. And I've been on jobs where I've forgotten things, or out of the blue, they're like, okay, well, let's just do this crazy body painting segment. And then, which was never in the treatment or never discussed. So you want to have as much as you can, but when you're starting, I don't want you to be paranoid that, you know, you don't have everything, because they shouldn't make you have everything. But guess what? I have to go, kids, and I'll talk to you guys next week. It was lovely to meet you. And face forward, I know you. I see you on Twitter.
Thank you, Maxie. Good night.
Bye, Denise. Bye, Denise. Bye, everybody.
Maxie. Bye.
Bye.
Thank you so much, JK, for joining us. We have like a minute left, and I just wanted you to shout out anything you want anybody to know. You can repeat information about your classes, your website, your Twitter and Facebook, you know, just anything that you want anybody to know.
Okay, my website is jkhunter.com, and if you go on there and scroll down on the front page, it gives you the links to the Facebook invite and to Eventbrite to pay for the class. The class is just $75 because the environment here is different. I didn't do the $100, $200, $300 classes. We're building. We will eventually do something like that. My Facebook, my actual Facebook page is JKHunter1. My Twitter is JKHunter. My MySpace is _ J.K. Hunter. And I just did LinkedIn, I mean, like night before last. So, you know, as usual, people will have to bear with me on being approved depending upon how busy I am. But I don't know what the LinkedIn is because I haven't grasped how to do LinkedIn yet. So, but I am on there. So, okay. And the class is the Let's Make Up 102 class, and it is on April the 17th in Nashville, Tennessee, at the Hotel Preston from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m.
Great. And as we kind of fade out, would you tell the audience what beauty means to you?
What beauty means to me is being flawless inside and out, being upgrading yourself while you're working on your outside presence. You should be working on your inner presence, and so it's being beautiful inside and out.
Absolutely. And, again, thank you so much. And we're going to keep following you and see what you're doing and probably get you back on the show later in the year.
Love you, ladies.
And,
thank you.
And,
you
and
all
have you joined some of our we normally do, like, every quarter we'll do a makeup roundtable discussion where we have makeup artists come on and we chat about all kinds of issues. So we'll try to get you for our next roundtable.
That'll work. Wonderful. Thank you.
Sounds good. Thank you so much. Have a good night.
Thank you. All right. Good night.
Okay. Good night.
Bye.
Thank you all for listening to the show tonight. Again, thank you to J.K. Hunter and to Maxie for joining us really quickly. Also, let me give you the number again to call in. It would be 914-803-4399 every Thursday night, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And for our listeners on the West Coast, 6 p.m. And thank you for our West Coast listeners, because I know it's kind of early for you to be sitting still listening to us, so we do appreciate our followers. Thank you to all of our Twitter and Facebook followers and fans. What else do I want to say? Oh, and if you enjoyed the show, please go out and rate it as a favorite. Rate the show or mark it as a favorite. Leave comments on our profile page, and we will see you again, or you'll hear us again next Thursday night. Have a good night, everybody.